Those types of songs tend to convict my heart when I really think about the words, praising my Savior all the day long. Not always the case, but we're working on it. He's worthy of praise all the day long, isn't he? Yes, he is. Exodus chapter number 20 this morning. Exodus chapter number 20. For those that are guests, we're in a series of messages concerning the topic of idolatry. Probably not a common topic in many churches, but I believe the more that I've studied through different passages of Scripture and have thought about specifically these American idols that we'll begin to talk about today, that it is a real need, and it really probably always has been, and it's highlighted over and over again in the Word of God. And so we're going to come back to it again, Exodus chapter number 20. I want you to notice again these four tenets that are involved in these first 11 verses. Read with me aloud the even number verses as we read down through verse number 11. Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I want you to consider something this morning as we begin to talk about this matter of American idols. I want you to hold your finger there in Exodus chapter number 20 and go with me to Ezekiel chapter 20. We looked at this at the very end of the message last Sunday morning. Ezekiel chapter number 20. Now again, there is sort of a history that is given here in this chapter of the book of Ezekiel by the prophet that bears the name of the book, Ezekiel. And what happens at the very beginning of this passage of Scripture is the Bible says the elders of Israel come to this prophet of God, the man of God, to make an inquiry of God. They want to hear from the Lord. They want to hear a message from the Lord, or maybe an answer from the Lord, or a response from the Lord. By the way, could I just say this morning? The Lord will, He can, He has, and He will continue to speak to individuals and tell them things and what He would have for them and all of that. The main way that He does that in this day and age is through His Word. Thankfully, especially here in our country, you can go just about anywhere and pick up a Bible and begin to read it for yourself because of how blessed we are in our nation. But isn't it interesting, time and time again, we see in the Word of God that elders, by the way, these were leaders in the nation of Israel, that when they wanted to hear from God, they went to somebody that they trusted to stand for God, a God-given authority. There are many that we talk to now that will say, I just worship on my own at my house, and I can do that and have my own relationship with the Lord, and I'm not disputing that you can. But God has always had spiritual leaders, And isn't it about time that we got back to talking to a spiritual leader and saying, can you find out from the Lord what God has for my life, or impart maybe a little bit more about what God has for me? That's biblical. That's reasonable. And right here in Ezekiel chapter number 20, the elders come to the prophet of God, the man of God. They want to hear from God. And God basically stiff arms them, to use a sports term, since we're going to be talking about sports this morning. And he says, I don't have anything to say to you about what you're asking me about. But notice what he begins to say to them through this prophet. Notice, for instance, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 7. Then said I unto them, this is Ezekiel speaking, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves, notice this, with the idols of Egypt. The idols of Egypt. Look at verse number 8. But they rebelled against me, would not hearken unto me. They did not, every man, cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake, notice this, the idols of Egypt. Now continue down to verse number 16, Ezekiel chapter 20. Because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Now you remember there in Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 5, the Bible says that he's visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And it's not that God is saying, I'm judging generations because of what the parents did, but he's saying what the parents do have an effect on the children and the generations to come. Now we see that here in Ezekiel chapter number 20, because in verses 7 and 8, we read about the idols of Egypt, Egypt's idols. We get down to verse number 16, and he says it was their idols. It's no longer Egypt's idols, but now you've adopted them, and they've become their idols. Verse number 18 mentions their idols. Verse number 24 says their father's idols, Ezekiel chapter number 20. Then you get down to verse number 31 of Ezekiel chapter 20. For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols. Your idols. And he goes on to say in verse number 39 to talk about his idols and with your idols. And here's what I see with every single one of these American idols that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. The idols that are mine, that I set up in my life, very easily and very naturally begin to get transferred to the next generation. And the next generation. And we see some real significant problems, because we've talked about the fantasy of false idolatry. And as a result of the things that we've highlighted and that we've exalted and we've set up in our lives, we also get a message from those things. And that message is a message of lies. And we see the ramifications of it even in our society today. We're going to talk about some of these things. I have listed 7 American idols that we need to discuss. 7 American idols. I'm going to name them this morning. We're only going to talk about one. It's a big one. By the way, it is the number one that I've looked. If I can look at my life and try to be honest with myself, with the Lord, and with you this morning, it's the number one that I personally have struggled with. So I'm going to step on my toes best first, and then we'll probably step on some other toes as well. All right? Here they are once again. The idol of sport. The idol of spot. The idol of Spielberg, the idol of Spotify, the idol of social media, the idol of spending, and the idol of spouse. We're going to look at each of these the next several weeks, talk about these things. Folks, let me say this before we pray this morning. There's only ever been, and there only ever will be, one true God. And He will not share His glory with anyone else or anything else. We better get back to being serious with the one true God. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, bless now the next few minutes as we talk about this American idol. And Lord, I pray that those that call themselves believers, we that have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to God, we would be able to note maybe some things that in our lives have been set up as idols, and we might be willing, Lord, to cast them down. And again, exalt the only Lord God, high above everything else. And we would be able to hear Your message for us. We would be able to draw close to You and have that relationship that You desire for every person that's ever been born into this world. You want a close relationship with us. May that be our desire as well. Lord, I pray this morning as we talk about this American idol, maybe there is somebody here who doesn't even really gather all of these things, spiritually speaking, because they've never been born again, and they do not have Jesus Christ residing in their life. Lord, if there is one like that, I pray that You'll, Lord, please take this message and use it in such a way that it would convict them and draw them, that they might be willing to repent of their sin and turn to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and receive the eternal life that You're offering. We love You, we thank You, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are specific cultural idols that are sort of become in vogue, if you will, in different ways in different societies. That's the reason why I'm highlighting American idols. It would do no good for me this morning. By the way, this tends to be sometimes our action as human beings. We love to talk about the people over in India, for instance, and I'm not picking on India this morning, but we would love to highlight some people in India this morning that bow down before a cow and worship it as an idol. And it's easy to pinpoint those folks in that place far away from us, those heathen people that bow down to those idols. But you know, isn't it good for us in our own culture and in our own lives and in our own neighborhoods to be able to focus on idols that are right here in our midst? And we've certainly got some. And I don't know where all these necessarily came about. I mean, I can think about the way that our society was set up and how we sort of got our structures and systems from maybe the Romans and some of these types of things, to see where this first American idol that I'm talking about would have been resurrected or exalted as high as it is today, the idol of sport. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter number 32. We looked at Exodus chapter number 32 several weeks ago, and we talked about this idolatrous worship service. But there is an interesting point to be made in Exodus chapter 32, verse number 6. And I want you to notice it this morning, Exodus chapter 32, verse number 6. And they, the people of Israel, rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, this word play is a very interesting word in Hebrew. It's got different ways that it's translated, obviously, into English. One of the ways that it's actually translated into English twice in the Old Testament scriptures is the word sport. Sport. In other words, they rose up to have a good time. The word is also translated as laugh. Laugh. Could I say this about sports this morning? there is nothing wrong in and of itself with sports. Nothing wrong. By the way, I want to go a step further than that. I want to say that there are many, many good things about sports. Many very valuable things about sports. Character lessons and keeping our physical bodies, human bodies in shape, and learning camaraderie and teamwork. And we could probably go on and on. There are so many good things about this matter of sports. And I've said over and over again the last several weeks, all of these American idols that we're going to be talking about, none of them are evil in and of themselves. But when they are exalted on the level of God or above God, they have now become an idol. And so we've got to be very, very careful. There's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with getting together and playing and laughing. There's nothing more I like to hear, even in my own household, than when my two daughters get together and they're basically best friends. They're about 13 and a half months apart, and they love to play together. Brother Weaver, they love to get out on the back porch that's covered, you know, and it's so nice back there, and blow bubbles and ride their little bitty bicycles around on the back porch and all these types of things. And you know what so often I hear out of that? Laughter. Laughter. They're enjoying playing together. There is nothing wrong in and of itself with sports, but it certainly can and certainly has become an American idol. Look at Judges chapter 16 for a moment, if you will. This is one of the places where that word sport is used. Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, notice verse number 23. The Bible says, "Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice." Now this is interesting now. Twice now we're reading about this word, sport or play, and it is linked with idolatry. Could I tell you a fear that I have for Open Door Baptist Church? We're going to work our way through the message, I promise. There's a fear that I have because of our American culture and specifically what we're talking about this morning. And I've watched this in a lot of good churches, real churches, churches that preach and teach the Bible. And what I've watched is, and for a lot of good reasons, there's probably some very good motives. But what happens is slowly but surely, recreation becomes more and more important in the life of a church. And I worry about this because I've seen too many churches that put more and more emphasis on it. And before long, all the church ever really does is get together and laugh and play. Instead of getting together to hear what thus saith the Lord, or to pray for the power of God and being broken over sin and truly doing something where we can have a connection with the Lord, all churches seem to do is get together for play and potluck. I'm just telling you, I have no problem with potluck, and I've got no problem with play and recreation, but I'm saying this, we better be careful in our churches, we better be careful in our homes, we better be careful in our individual lives, that these things don't become idolatrous. So I've tried to be very, very careful, even as a pastor, as I've planned things and so on, there are ideas and things that I've had, but I've said, you know, I think we need to be very, very careful about that, because we really don't. By the way, have you ever thought about this? I was thinking about this the last couple of days. There are these, what do they call them? You have a golf course and a place where people go. What do they call those? Country club. Country club. Exactly what I'm talking about. You ever thought about the country club? The country club is really set up, if I understand it, and I've never had enough money to even sniff a country club, okay? I've delivered to some country clubs. And boy, I tell you, going to those bathrooms, they are nice. They are really nice. That's probably the one thing that really stood out to me. That and the tennis courts. I really like tennis. But, you know, the country club, you think about the way that it's set up, and it isn't amazing, the structure. You've got a membership. You got to pay to be involved. And it's all about sports and fitness and looking good and feeling good and rubbing shoulders, if I as a peon can talk about what it's all about. You know, that sort of a thing. It's amazing. It seems like there's a model that's sort of similar, being a member and paying money and all of that. I know we don't pay money to the church, but we give tithes and offerings and things of that nature. And here's what I'm saying. Many churches have become just glorified country clubs. The most beautiful cars are out in the parking lot. I'm not against a beautiful car. The nicest of clothes are worn. I'm not against nice clothes. But I'm saying that's what it becomes about. So that if somebody drives up with a clunker, oh, no, not at our country club. We're the Country Club Baptist Church, don't you know? We don't accept that. And we would never say it, but if that country, that clunker person comes in with their clunker clothes and their clunker smells and some things that might go along with it, and they sat down, we might move away, you know, and get around the rest of our country club people. You know what I'm talking about? There's a danger, folks, with this matter of recreation and sports and even our churches today. And we better be very, very careful. But I'm just saying, there's a link now twice. We see it in Scripture, this matter of sport and play with idolatry. So these folks, the Philistines, they're heathen people, and they're worshiping Dagon, their god. Not the god, their god. The Bible says in verse number 24, Judges 16, when the people saw him, Samson, they praised their god. See, Samson was a warrior for God and for God's people, for Israel. And they had conquered Samson. Most are probably very familiar with that story, that account, Samson and Delilah. That's a true biblical account. And Samson, after he got his locks cut off, he had lost his strength, and now he had been conquered by the enemy. And they were worshiping their God, cheering for their God, praising their God, because their enemy had been conquered. And notice what they said. Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Verse number 25. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry. Hear me this morning. The word play, one of the words for that Hebrew word is laugh. Laughter, joy, merry. By the way, this is the false kind. We talked about the true kind of joy in Sunday school. This is the false kind. They have joy because of this false god, and this false god has supposedly gotten the victory over their enemy. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet, Philistines. It's only going to be a little while. Their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us, here's the word, sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Samson became a spectacle, and they laughed and they cheered at their enemy. By the way, this has happened down through the ages, even in Colosseums. We better be careful about the Colosseum and where we're going with this American idolatry, where people will get on board and cheer for something that is wicked and evil. Because there's a lot of things that go along with sports that in and of itself is nothing wrong with it at all. But now we've got, for instance, and by the way, we learned the verses, Galatians 5, 19 through 23, for those that put them to memory, one of those works of the flesh is what? Drunkenness and revelings. And it's just natural in our day and age to gather at a coliseum, at a stadium, and all the signs are everywhere. The advertisements are everywhere. The shops are set up everywhere to go get drunk at the Coliseum and revel and act like a fool out in the sports Coliseum. We better be careful, folks. It's an American idol more and more. And we as believers, we can get swept up in it. It'll no longer be Egypt's idols. It'll be our idol. Samson was made a spectacle. They cheered and jeered and celebrated over the the destruction of their enemy. And what do we do? Boy, ain't nothing wrong with this. Two teams get together, we cheer for our team, and we cheer for the destruction of the other team. Nothing wrong with that. Good fun and all of that in its place. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. We're going to qualify this matter of sports as an idol, or how it can become an idol, and then we're going to quantify it. And so we'll give you those things here in just a moment. And I don't think it'll take very long to do that. This is really more important, the foundation that we're laying, so that you understand what we're talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Now he's telling them, you want to remind them of some things. You want their minds to be focused on some specific things. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now notice this. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Fables is something that is imaginary or made up or false. Profane means to bring something down that should be exalted, but to bring it down. And so we see these things in what we're talking about this morning. He says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So the focus of your mind and the focus of what you ought to be trying to remind people about is godliness, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and His life lived out for the glory of God. That's what the focus of our lives ought to be. Then he says this, verse number 8, for bodily exercise, by the way, that's what sport is, it's bodily exercise, whatever it may be. Now, there are some sports that take much less bodily exercise. There are some sports now they call sport. I'm like, how is that a sport? But, you know, I don't know. Chess, for instance. Now, God bless you, chess players. I want to learn. It's a great, you know, game, but a sport? I don't know about that. All right? That's for all the genius. That's sports for geniuses. Okay, verse number 8, which I'm not. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, again, I've made this point before, but it's very important. It doesn't say it doesn't profit at all. There's nothing wrong with exercise. We'll mention it here in just a moment. As a matter of fact, exercise is a good thing. We ought to have healthy bodies. Why? So God can use those bodies as long as possible so we can be a witness for Him. This body is just a vessel for the Lord. He owns it. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so I ought to treat the temple in such a way. If you came into church this morning, man, the ceiling's falling through, lights are hanging, not working, and things are just in shambles. You're like, man, nobody really cares about this place, do they? Some of us, treat our bodies similarly. We represent the Lord. So nothing wrong with bodily exercise, but it says it profits little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Folks, sports are great, you know, for in the moment, but they're so temporary and they don't mean anything eternally. Not a thing. Who won the OU West Virginia game yesterday won't mean a thing in eternity. Who won the Texas? Who's Texas? I watched a portion of that game. Who? Tech. Who won the Texas Tech? It doesn't mean anything for eternity. Let me qualify these things quickly. Number one, we're talking about sports watched. Sports watched. In private. Let me ask you a question. How long does it take to watch a normal sports game? Now, I'm not just talking, by the way, about indoor-type sports. I'm talking about outdoor sports, too. Some of y'all may not watch a football game, but maybe you watch a fishing show or something. All that's included, okay? I want you to think about this. How long does it take to watch one from beginning to end? Call out to me and tell me. 2 hours? Thank you. More like 3 to 4. So I've taken 3 to 4 hours of time if I've watched the entire game and used it to watch sports. Nothing in and of itself wrong with that, but what else did I spend 3 to 4 hours on today, this week? What about in person? What if you go to a sporting event in person? How long will that take to get ready, to drive to the event, wherever it may be? And, you know, we may have local sports. Thankfully, we got some local sporting venues and events here. But you may end up having to go a little further, right? You may take a plane to go somewhere. How long does that take? Countless number of hours. We don't know. Watching in studio. This is all of the discussion that comes after the game. Anybody ever watched sports shows? You can't just watch a game, right? You got to watch the shows. You got to watch the commentators talking about all the individuals and breaking it down and all of that. I see some of you nodding your head. No, I don't watch that. Good for you. But many do. And I'll tell you how we know. I'm going to give you some numbers here in a moment. They're mind-blowing, at least to me. They're mind-blowing. But I'm just trying to point out all the different ways that sports has become an American Idol in studio. People spend hours of time not just watching games, but watching breakdown of games, watching the commentators. These commentators become ones that we know by name. We know about their lives. We see them as celebrities. And they ain't even playing. In imagination, I had a cutout, I've told you before, of Michael Jordan when I was a young person. One of my old bus captains brought it for me. I think it was about his height, you know, 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", somewhere in there. Whatever you might say Michael Jordan was or is, but 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", a cutout of Michael Jordan. I had that in my room. I had some Bulls paraphernalia there on my wall. And you know what I would do? Have you ever done this? I do this today. My wife gets upset with me. I imagine sports. Anybody else do that? I get in my house and I'm dribbling the basketball and I'm shooting at my wife. I'm like, what are you doing, Dad? Now, they know now. My girls know what I'm doing now. I'm imagining sports. In other words, I'm thinking about it. Even outside of times that I'm watching it or watching a show about it or going to it in person, boy, that's something that's on the focus of my mind. You say none of those things are a big deal. Folks, when you start to add up all the different ways that we watch sports, and I'm going to qualify it some more, we might start to pinpoint some idolatry in our lives. How about this? Fantasy. There's fantasy leagues now. Folks, I'm not against any of this stuff. I've been involved in fantasy leagues. But people spend hours studying this player and his statistics and injuries and all these different sorts of things so they can make sure they win their fantasy league and don't attach money to it. Whoa, now it's serious business. Isn't it amazing they call it fantasy? The fantasy of false idolatry. Here's a big one that's now come to pass, gambling. Gambling is the new big one for sports. And now you've got folks that are not even really interested in sports, but they're using it as a means to be able to gamble with their money. Watched, played, the game itself, practice, study, clothing, equipment, all those things go into playing the game, playing the sport. Again, there's nothing wrong with any of these things by themselves, But when they begin to swallow up and envelop our lives, boy, we've got to watch out. What about physical fitness? It's not necessarily a sport in and of itself, but it is something where I can get out and try to keep my body fit and all of that. You begin to talk about the clothing and the equipment and oftentimes the vanity that goes into that. I don't want to just go work out. I want to look good while I work out. Why? A gym membership. We're willing to pay money to be a part of a gym. Look at all the benefits it offers. But when the pastor stands up and talks about tithes and offerings that are biblical, oh, preacher, I can't afford that. Look at Proverbs chapter 31. We're already out of time, but I want to mention a couple other things we'll be done today. I think you're getting the idea and the point. And I've got to give you some figures so that you understand why I call this an American idol, Proverbs chapter 31. May I say this morning? It's a tragedy. There will be many, many people, I believe this with all my heart, that will die and go to hell and end up in the lake of fire forever and ever because of the idol of sports. They would not turn to God because they knew they were going to have to let go, or they thought they would, of some of those things. And you will. Coming to the Lord means repenting of your sin. And there will be folks that will die and go to hell over something that means absolutely nothing for eternity. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 30 and 31. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Giver of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So much of this has to do with vanity, especially when it comes to physical fitness. And it's not about us being healthy, but about us looking good. Oftentimes. Let me quantify it for you for just a couple minutes. Look at Luke chapter 14, if you would, please. By the way, I will take a woman every day that knows how to work over one that is outwardly beautiful every single day. By the way, I believe I have a beautiful wife, but I wouldn't call her a supermodel, and I thank God for that. So many of these supermodels are so focused on the outward, they have nothing inside. It's purely vanity. And by the way, those looks, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much plastic surgery you put to it, they're going away. You're going to lose them. And it may look worse with plastic surgery as the years go by. Let's be honest, folks. Why don't we focus on something that will last forever? That is the soul and the spirit, and me being in communion with the Lord God and giving my life to the work that He's called all of us to do. That's putting God first. Luke chapter 14, verse number 28. If I'm stepping on your toes this morning, I don't mean to, but I knew it would. It steps on my toes. The Lord has convicted my heart about these things. Luke 14, 28, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. So when we quantify this matter of sports as an American idol, we begin to count certain things to figure out how much it affects our life. Number one, time. Time. It's been said by coaches and many others, you get up early, you stay up late, you do what you need to do to be great. But talk about getting up early to read your Bible or pray, or staying up late to talk to the Lord or to witness to somebody about Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm worn out. But when the game goes into overtime, woohoo! Overtime. Have y'all noticed which day has become the prime day for sport? We say, well, it only makes sense, Pastor Taylor. 5 days, we got to work. Who gave us the opportunity, the strength, the ability, the intellect to be able to work? And for what purpose? But what we've done is we've said the 5 days are mine to get the money that I need to be able to pay for all this junk that I don't need. I'm talking to myself. And then Sunday, I need to quote-unquote rest, and that includes watching football from 10 in the morning to 10 at night. Or, let's bring it closer to home, Christian people who cannot wait to get out of church so they can go catch up on what's going on in the sports world. I've been guilty. Because that's where our heart is. And we'll put time where our heart is. What about money? This is absolutely astounding to me. The sports market, this is about 5 years ago now. I couldn't find any immediate data. 5 years ago, it's $471 billion. Guess what the United States share of that is? By the way, we have about 330 million. That's ticked up a little bit here recently. But we have about 330 million in our population. The world population is over 7 billion. You do the math as to what percentage we represent in the world for the number of people. The market share for sport is about 33%. 100 to $150 billion is spent on the sports industry in the United States of America. I said billion. 100 to $150 billion. $55.9 billion on sporting events. $33.4 billion on athletic equipment. $19.2 billion on gym memberships. $8 billion on sports-themed games. Man, I'm good at that 2K, man. I'm the best. 4.8 billion on race entry fees. We're talking about going and running a marathon or something like that. Almost $5 billion a year spent in the United States of America on race entry fees. $2.3 billion spent on fantasy leagues. I would imagine that number, 100 to 150 billion, has probably gone up in the last 5 years. But we can quantify it as American Idol by talking about how much money is spent. On the other hand, missionaries who are taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, on average, have to go on deputation to raise support for about 4 years in order to get that done. Then oftentimes they struggle because they really didn't raise enough money because they were in a hurry to get to the mission field, and they struggle to keep their support raised, and churches drop missionaries because they no longer can support them, and so on and so forth, while hundreds of billions of dollars are spent on sports alone. This is just one of the seven idols that we're talking about. What about risk? We're willing to risk injury or sickness or any other amount of things for sports or for physical fitness, but we're not willing to take one risk for doing something for the Lord. The pandemic showed that there are churches that are still closed down, supposedly because of the risk of COVID. God help us. Yet stadiums are filled with 100,000 people who are there to cheer on their favorite sports team. Here's one of the most troubling aspects of this American Idol that I see, and it is the aspect, quantifying it, of influence. How much influence does this idol have on my life? What am I willing to do or say or buy or how to live my life based on the influences that come out of it? And it's amazing, the advertisements that we see, commercials to be able to pay the bills and promote all these different things, and the causes that have come out of the sports world. Causes that are complete fantasy. Could I name one this morning? Black Lives Matter. A cause that was raised by the sports industry complex that was completely false. Yet if you came into a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ and heard the gospel preached and saw people that go out in the community and try to reach people for Jesus Christ and be a friend to them, that's really where Black Lives Matter and any other color kind you want to talk about. Not the fantasy that put down the nuclear family and said we've got to feed into abortion and all these other godless causes. And guess what they used to promote it? Our idols. About 2 years ago now, I hate to say this. I wish I was more spiritual. And I'm working on it day by day. But about 2 years ago, I had had enough. I had paid, my family and I had paid money monthly. Good money that I worked hard for, we worked hard for. To have cable network type packages, specifically sports. One of the main reasons I had it. We didn't watch 90% of the stuff that they put out. But I had my sports package. And I watched some of my favorite sports organizations. For instance, I'll call them out this morning, the San Antonio Spurs, the Texas Longhorns. And I could go down the list as they trumpeted out and made much to do about these godless causes. And I said, we're done. We're cutting the cord. And it wasn't as much about money as it was what it was being promoted. You say, Pastor Taylor, that's radical. And you can separate. Maybe you can. But maybe there comes a time where we get tired of having a picture or a statue of sorts. It was a cardboard cutout of a guy that can throw a ball in a hoop telling us, for instance, about religion or politics or any of those type of real things that really count, who are simply parroting something they got from somebody else that's paying their bills. Yeah, I'm willing to say it. They're not my heroes, and they're not going to be. I'm going to side with people that are with the book and with the Lord of the book. Those are going to be my heroes. And I'm not going to fall down and worship. You do what you want. Go where you want, you know, and scream. And oh, I just saw. You name them. You name her. But you see a pastor, missionary, evangelist, or even another brother or sister in your local church, like, hey, good to see you. Or don't even want to see them. How about that? That tells where we are in our heart. That tells where our idols are. And we better come to terms with this American idol of sports. And that's just one out of the seven. We're going to look at six more. You say, that one doesn't touch me. I'm not a sports person. Wonderful. We got six more opportunities. By the way, every single one of these I've had or have a problem with. Every single one of them. So if I'm preaching on your sin or your idol, I'm preaching on mine too. And I really thank God for it. I truly want the Lord to be first in my life. I truly do. And I want it to be where I'd rather have a bumper sticker that says I love Jesus or has scripture on it than to have a bumper sticker with some sports organization that just means nothing for the Lord. God help us with that this morning. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed for a short time of invitation. I need to ask you the most important question this morning. And please hear me. maybe all the things I've talked about this morning you're not on board with, or doesn't really mean anything to you, or what have you. But the most important thing really is the eternal thing, the eternal matter. And folks, the Bible says that our soul will exist on forever, somewhere, consciously, forever. The Bible still says there's only two places. There's an eternal heaven where the Lord is, where it is complete bliss and joy. There's no sin, no sorrow, no death, no pain, no tears. Now, on the other hand, there is eternal fire and torment. And the Bible says the way to get to that eternal heaven and escape that eternal fire is to put faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What He did when He was crucified on the cross, buried, and rose again 3 days later. He gave His life so that we might have eternal life. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who'd say, Pastor Taylor, I'm not even sure about that idle message you just preached. But I don't know if I can say with assurance, blessed assurance, that I know where my soul will be when I die. It could be today. Sports fanatic, we may not have another opportunity to watch another game. We leave out of this place, get into a car wreck, and go out into eternity. Where would your soul be? You know it would be with the Lord, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Do you know that? Do you have that assurance? Maybe there's somebody here who would say, Pastor Taylor, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know that. I'm not sure about that, but I am concerned about it today. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Just lift it right up, right back down. Let me pray for you. And that's all I'll do. I want to pray for you. It's the greatest need you have, that you would have the assurance that your soul would be eternally saved when you go out of this life. Is there one that would say, Pastor Taylor, I'm concerned about that. Pray for me. Is there one? Can I pray for you? Is there one? Okay, let me ask this question. I don't see any hands. Christian friend, would you say with me, boy, God has stepped over my toes this morning concerning this matter of sport. God has spoken to my heart. Is there one? God has spoken to my heart. All right? Let's pray. We're going to have a time of invitation. I want to invite you to come. If you just need to come and talk to the Lord, we come and invite you right up here to the altar. Just come and kneel down, pray to God. Maybe you need to come make a decision. Maybe you need to come and talk with somebody about salvation this morning. I want somebody to take the Bible, show you how you can know you can be saved. We can have somebody take you in a private room and show that to you this morning. You can know that before you leave here today. Maybe you need to be baptized scripturally after you've been saved. Maybe you need to join the church this morning, make this your church home. Maybe you need to rededicate your life publicly. That's you. We invite you to come right after we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message this morning. There are so many things that you're able to highlight, so much more than we could. I pray that you'll continue to do that. Carry on the message in our hearts that we might truly worship you and have you first in our lives. Have no other gods before you or with you. Lord, I pray, I didn't see any hands, but maybe there's somebody here in our midst right now who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and if they were to be honest, they really couldn't give any kind of an answer about what's going to happen when they die. They might be guessing about it, they might be hoping about it, but there is nothing confident they can say about where their soul will be when they go out into eternity. Pray they'd be willing this morning, if there's one like that, to come and let somebody take the Bible, show them from the Word of God what they need to know. They can be saved today. Then, Lord, help us as you touch our hearts and convict us that we might begin to cast down these idols in our lives. We might put you in your proper place and worship you, the only true God. That we might put our minds on things that are eternal. Help us during this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head.